Hi everyone, it's Josh here. I just wanted to let you know that Lovecraft Esque, the storytelling card game of creeping cosmic horror, is heading for a second edition crowdfunding on Backerkit in October. It's a much improved version of an already great game. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you will have heard us playing it, and if you haven't, I recommend you go and check those episodes out. And if you would like to get in on the new edition, there is a link in the show notes, which you can use to sign up for notifications when the campaign launches. Well, I want to do intros, but now Ed's like, who knows where he is? He could be anywhere. I suppose I could do Ed. I'll
Oh,
do Ed.
yeah, you
I'll...
do it.
All right, okay, let's do this. Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him, and with me I have at the top of the alphabet.
That's me. I'm Becky Anderson. I'm going to be playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat. That is the Ares playbook, and both of our pronouns are she and her.
Hello. My name's Ed Tomlinson, my pronouns are he and him, and tonight I'll be playing the sexiest scientist in the universe, Dr. Roy. He's a Scorpio, also the best playbook. Okay, thanks, bye.
It's uncanny, isn't
I
it?
think I'm going to outsource it every week from now on. I can see how this outsourcing model works. It's perfect.
I can't tell if we're still doing this, but just in case. Hi, everyone. I'm Nick Bate. I'm playing Sam Buckley, Captain Sam Buckley, sometimes Commander Sam Buckley. He's the Ares playbook. We both share he, him pronouns. He's not the Ares playbook. He's the Taurus playbook.
Yeah, I'm the Ares playbook.
Nailed it.
Accurate.
And I am Sue Elliott. Who do I play? I play Sonya Vega, the Gemini playbook. That's right, isn't it? I'm doubting myself now.
No, you're right, C. Have faith.
And our pronouns are she and her. Done.
Brilliantly done.
Do I need to be Josh Fox now?
I feel like discipline is gradually breaking down on this show. it does worry me a little bit.
So I guess I'd like to understand the situation in the drive room in order for Roy to know what his next move would be in terms of the cover up move, if you like.
So I think after you are in the medical room with Vega, Dr. Roy, you head back to the drive room to sort of see what the state.
I would use the term scurry.
Scurry back, yeah. When you arrive, there are already a number of Marines in position, forming a cordon, and you hear Colonel Foster going, "What do you mean you can't find Dr. Roy? I need him now. He should be down here immediately." "Oh, Dr. Roy, you're here. Excellent."
"Yes, you wanted me here immediately. How can I help?"
"We've uncovered... Well, you'd better take a look." And she leads you to this crime scene that you have already seen. But it is empty of any bodies. It's just a mess of cobweb and nothing.
There's no half Samalikes in there. I sort of check to see if there's any.
Yes, well, what did you do with the body again? I can't remember.
Well, I think we just made an effort to destroy the Samalike, didn't we?
You smashed it.
Yeah. But there could be bits of Samishness in there, I guess.
You didn't burn it, did you?
My recollection is a face got caved in.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
With a piece of metal.
Yeah.
In a classic 80s style special effect kind of way. In my mind.
No, okay. I don't think the Samalike is there anyway.
Okay. I sort of lean in and look and kind of look nervous, and then
Colonel Foster has a grim face and says, "As you can see, something really serious has gotten out of control here. Is this it? Is this what we were looking for, Dr. Roy?"
I do a sort of Venkman-esque parade around the room, looking at things with my hands behind my back. And I say, yes, I think this is it. Well done. You've done a great job finding it. Is there anything damaged? Is the drive damaged?
No, there's no sign of any damage to the drive, but... Well, we haven't wanted to get in there and look, but it just seems like there's something was in here. These tendrils, they look like the remains of some sort of cocoon or shell. There was something in there, and it's not there anymore.
I find it very interesting. And how long have you been studying the Korax, Commander? Just remind me.
Are you trying to cover up?
Yeah.
I think we should just roll that straight away, because I my natural reaction is to go, fuck you, buddy, you're going in the brick, but you better roll the dice to find out whether that's what happens.
What is cover up?
Smooth.
All the moves should be smooth, then it would be fine.
The only moves you need to roll are raw.
Well, we've got a very big difference of opinion there. Oh, crap. Four.
She just looks at you. She gives you a hard stare. Doesn't even answer your question.
I say, of course, I value your input. And perhaps you have a point.
I see. Do I? Well, what do you make of this?
Well, I see no one else is really getting in there, so perhaps we should get some hazmat outfits.
Is that wise? My inclination was to torch the whole thing.
You want to torch the drive room?
The... whatever this stuff is.
I mean, perhaps, as I am on a scientific mission, I could be at liberty to take some samples and maybe look at what is happening in this room before you choose to destroy it.
Well, I'll have to consult with the Admiral on that, Dr. Roy. I can't possibly condone leaving the drive room of our capital ship in this state. Hazmat suits or otherwise, I feel like it's very risky to allow further contamination to take place. And I'm very concerned about whatever was in there and isn't in there anymore.
Yes, it's an interesting hypothesis you have, Officer. Perhaps we should go and speak to the Admiral together and get this ironed out. I don't want to wait and leave it in this situation. We don't want to put the crew at risk, which we both can concur on, surely.
Indeed. Let's do that. Let's go and speak to the Admiral right now. I've got this whole area cordoned off. Nothing will enter or leave. Nothing and no one. Let's go. I think the Admiral will loop Sam in. So let's cut to... Do you think you would fly over, Sam? Or would we have you on the radio? Big holographic head.
No. Is this what interrupts us?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, yes, but it's not going to be a kind of... Woo, 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 red alert, captain to the bridge.
But if you get a call from the Admiral...
Yeah, you get interrupted.
Calling Captain Buckley. There's a call from the Admiral. Please put your trousers on.
I'm in the shuttle bay. I'll head over.
Since you're in the shuttle bay with a pilot, do you get your pilot to take you over? or not really? It might be suspicious. It might be better to say, oh, yeah, I really need a pilot, though, so could you send someone over? There aren't any pilots around here.
One of my parts will take me over. I'm just trying to... How does Hellcat feel? Does Hellcat find flying shuttles just really shit?
I think the Hellcat just likes flying, and for preference, she likes to fly things that are fast and have weapons on them. But, like, she's very happy. I'm pretty sure I've flown people in the shuttle. I'm pretty sure I took a shuttle out to fly right out. So I'm very happy. I just like flying.
Yeah, okay. So probably what Sam does is takes the call from the Admiral and then says to Hellcat in a shrugging kind of way, fancy a flight?
Does she overhear the conversation?
I think so.
All right, in that case, what she will do is she'll click her heels, whip off the smartest salute you've ever seen her do in her life and say, absolutely, Captain. And then she'll wink at you and again sit in the pilot's chair.
Nice. That'll definitely get a smile from Sam. And we'll fly over.
So you're going to fly over?
I would like to have a conversation with Vega. If I find out that she's in the med bay, then I'll be like, my friend's in the med bay.
She's in the med bay on the Agamemnon. So...
yeah, we're just flying over to the Agamemnon.
Yeah. All right. Sure, why don't we do that?
I was going to do the exact same thing, so yeah, go for it, Hellcat.
Seeing Vega, or are you going over to see the Admiral?
Well, I mean, I have to see the Admiral now, but yeah, yeah. But if I wasn't, I also want to talk to... well, I want to talk to Vega and Sam and Roy. Give myself a talking to.
Definitely need to give yourself a talking to.
Cut to you in the what? Sick bay, I'm guessing?
What happened? I would have brought flowers, but it was all a bit sudden. Or grapes, or whatever it is.
Bit of a incident in the drive room, but I think it's resolved now.
What were you doing in the drive room of the Agamemnon?
Well, you remember that assignment with Dr. Roy?
Yes.
It's kind of related to that. He's doing some kind of investigation. And to be honest, my head's a bit fuzzy. I'm not sure what happened, but there was something.
Vega, you don't seem okay.
Vega kind of subconsciously kind of... She's just kind of like holding her arm. Like, just sort of... like touching it and kind of feeling it a little bit.
I don't like to interrupt, but I feel like if you're not going to tell her what happened, you might be covering it up. Maybe not. I mean, maybe it's just obvious that you're being a bit suspicious and that's that.
I was giving her an opening to reach out if she wanted to.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I didn't think about reaching out.
The Koraks never reach out, just saying.
Vega goes quiet for just a couple of seconds and goes, Emily, I'm kind of scared and I'm not used to this feeling.
You need to tell me what happened.
We were hunting down some kind of signal on the ship.
The Korak signal?
I think so, yeah.
Shit.
And when we went into the drive room, it was just... I mean, it looked like it was everywhere.
Korak's all over the drive room of the Agamemnon.
Uh-huh.
Must be where the Admiral's called Sam over. The Captain over.
But, I mean, we were fighting it, and something... it was all so overwhelming, and then there was this huge bang, and my hand just wasn't there. But now, you know, I wake up here, and the doctor says that everything's sorted out, and I have my hand, I think.
I look at her hand. It looks like a normal hand to me. Yeah. I'm not an expert in hands.
It does. Apart from the weird plasticky... no, I'm just kidding.
Apart from the mushroomy smell.
Little tiny, tiny mushrooms at the end of your fingers.
Except for the extra finger. Look, I... for the first time, I'm doubting myself. I was sure my hand was gone.
I think we need to get you off the ship and back home. As soon as the captain's cleared to go back to the Hecate, you can come with us. I don't like this. What did Roy say?
He said that it was all sorted. I mean, he didn't stick around.
He didn't stick around?
No, I mean, I woke up, we said two things to each other, and then he was gone. I mean, I was exhausted.
I'm not happy about Roy. Something weird happened out in the battle.
I need... You don't think I'm making this up, or that I've... You know, I'm not in my right mind or something. Like, you know that this is... I just need you to tell me that you believe me.
Look, it sounds really fucking weird, but we're in the middle of a war against mushrooms. Things are really fucking weird right now. I completely believe you. Whatever's going on, we'll work it out together. Okay?
Okay.
And we'll get you off the Agamemnon. It's not a safe place for a civilian if their drive room is covered in Korax, anyway. Not a safe place for any of us. Can you walk?
Yeah, I think it's just cuts and scrapes. I can probably get discharged now.
Let's go back and wait in the shuttle then. There's nothing to do on the Agamemnon anyway. They don't even have spanners.
Oh man, I do not know why you're here, but I'm so glad it's you.
Come on, let's go.
Before you go, you have to roll to reach out though.
Oh no.
Sauce.
I'm going to get you, Roy.
It's Dr. Roy. Goddamn Dr. Roy.
Doctor.
I didn't spend 15 years doing resits to pass my doctor's degree to not be called Dr. Roy.
That's a 6.
Uh-oh.
Have you got any pressure to burn?
I do. No, I can't use it for reach out.
And I can't support a reach out move, I presume.
You can.
It does say encouragement or moral support isn't enough to support someone, but I guess there's an action here.
What, to offering to take her away?
Yeah.
Well, what do you reckon, Josh?
If what you're trying to do is reach out to somebody and they're actively trying to help, that seems like more than offering encouragement or moral support. So the purpose of it, the reason why that exclusion exists, is to prevent you raising the pressure on a move that then allows you to get pressure back.
Mm.
Yeah.
So just farming pressure round and round. But if you support somebody, you're not guaranteed to get any benefit at all. You might just roll a 6.
Yeah.
So it's not just an XP farm. Sorry, it's not just a pressure farm.
And I roll it on my relationship, don't I?
But you get an additional relationship point, so you are
yes,
almost...
Yes, I know.
It's true. There's nothing in the rules to prevent you farming relationships.
Hush, hush, Dr. Roy.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'm only saying it because...
She called you doctor.
Dr. Roy, isn't that enough for you?
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, fine.
Out of interest, what happens kind of narratively if that reach out role? It's like, how would you play that? Is it like, I'm still full of doubts and fears, basically?
You can roleplay it however you like. Your pressure doesn't go down, and your relationship doesn't improve. But also I get to make a move, so...
So your Korax hand will shoot out and grab me by the throat and pin me against the wall and choke the life out of me.
Of course.
I guess it's a choice, isn't it? If you leave the Agamemnon, then you're making a choice for the goodies. That's what I'm saying.
We're not leaving the Agamemnon without the captain.
I mean, baddies are always the best. That's what I'm saying.
It's your choice, Sue. Do you want me to help?
Should we just crack on?
So you're not supporting?
Not supporting.
You're just allowing the 6 to stand, okay?
Let's just enjoy that little scene and see what shit gets served to us.
Well, in that case, I will put my arm around you and, like, help you to walk. I will react like your Korax hand is a perfectly normal human hand. And we'll walk to the shuttle.
Hold up.
Uh-oh.
You rolled a 6, so I make a move.
Do I get XP, or is that only on a successful roll?
No, you get it.
Anyway, yeah. So.
You could have had 2 XP if Becky had supported, but...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Becky would have got...
I would have got
XP. Oh, I see.
Becky would have got XP, yeah.
does mean I've now filled up my XP, which is quite good.
Is Power Hand one of the moves you could pick?
You should seriously think about taking a Scorpio move. Just for giggles.
Okay, here's what happens.
Yep.
Your conversation is just ending, and you hear a knock on the open door as somebody peeps round the corner of the door, and it is the CAG on board the Agamemnon.
Oh, I better stand to attention and do a salute then. It's nowhere near as smart as it was as I just did earlier on the shuttle, but it's acceptable.
So Josh, would you say this is the CAG Agamemnon?
Nice. I can't believe I missed that one.
That's so good. I love it.
You're fired.
That's fair.
It is somebody with a really cool call sign, I'm sure. I'm going to make it Midnight because I love Midnight.
That's cool.
We haven't got a Midnight already, do we? No. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a guy, and it's going to be Bobby Kistler. He's a Major Kistler, who is also Midnight. Midnight's a reasonably experienced officer. You know him from various missions you've flown together. And he just sort of says, I hope I'm not disturbing anything.
Sir?
Yeah, I was coming looking for you, actually, Hellcat, if you've got a minute.
Yes, of course, sir. I'll flick a glance back at Vega and say, I won't be long, and then I'll take you back to the shuttle.
Do what you got to do.
Are you leaving Vega in the room and coming outside the corridor? Or...
Yeah, I'm leaving Vega in the room and coming outside the corridor.
Hi, how are you doing? I heard things got a little bit sticky over at the Hecate.
Oh, do you mean the mission for the Alexandria, sir?
I do mean that, yeah.
Well, we lost some Marines, but all in all, it was a successful mission, and we recovered the fuel.
Hmm. Yeah, everything as expected?
Yes, of course, sir. Is there something wrong, sir?
I'm just asking after the well-being of a fellow pilot.
Oh.
Loris, that's all.
Thank you very much, sir. No, I'm very good.
Good. Well, I just wanted to come and check in since I heard you were on board my ship and I haven't seen you in a little while. I wanted to do a bit more than that. We are down a pilot at the moment. One of our guys got injured and, well, I've had my eye on you for a while. You know that. I wonder if you would be interested in coming and joining my guys for a while, flying the big ship.
That's a great honour, sir. I'm worried that you'll find I'm more trouble than I'm worth, though. You've probably read my record.
Yeah, I've read your record. Good and bad. I make my judgments.
Don't want to end up spending more time in your brig than I do in the cockpit, sir.
Well, that is up to you. I would prefer you didn't spend more time in the brig than in the cockpit, though, because I am hiring you. I'm making a job offer because I want you flying.
Oh, that's a fantastic offer, sir. Do you mind if I just sleep on it?
That is entirely fine with me.
We're a tight-knit bunch on the Hecate, and I just need to think about it.
Of course. How is everything with Miss Vega? You looked a little tense when I came in.
Miss Vega's an old friend of mine from flight school.
Hmm. She can fly.
She was brilliant.
Interesting. Noted. So nothing to worry about there?
No, I don't think so, sir.
Okay, well, that was all.
Thank you very much. It's I will get back to you. It's an honour to be asked, sir.
All right. Well, you better get back to your friend and I better get back to business. I'll see you later, Hellcat.
Just as he turns to go, I will salute and then I will say, her scores were as good as mine, you know. And then I'll duck in.
So sort of average.
No.
All right. Should we go back to the scene with the various and sundries?
Yes.
So I think this is a briefing room scene. We've got the Admiral. We've got Foster. We've got Dr. R. Oh, we've got Buckley. I think that's it.
Yep. Sounds good to me. Can you just remind me, Foster... He's a colonel. She's a colonel.
She's a colonel, yeah.
And, like, commander of the Marines or some other?
Oh, I don't remember. We did possibly say something about that a million sessions back.
It doesn't matter. We can just
Sorry, I just put assisting Dr. Roy on the notes. So.
The key details.
That's all that really matters about her.
I guess the question I'm actually asking is this another soldier in the room or not?
Yes, she's a soldier. I think we will say she's the commander of the Marines on board the Agamemnon. And I think she is close to the Admiral, is what you know about her. She's got a reputation as a bit of a by-the-book kind of...
Yep. Great. Well, I mean, when I arrive at the briefing room, I'll step in, snap to, and salute, and say, reporting as requested, Admiral.
Come in. Oh, you're already in. why don't you sit down, Commander? We're just getting started.
This is a dumb question, but do we refer to senior officers as irrespective of gender in this game? Have we figured that out?
I think yes.
Okay, cool.
If there are any feminists in the room would like to tell me that that's grossly offensive, say so now. No? Great.
Okay. Then Sam will just say, yes, sir, thank you, sir, and grab a seat. And he'll relax. He's not being super stiff, I don't think.
Okay. So I kind of want to skip out the bit where I just describe everything that's happened.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I think Foster will tersely describe what she found in the drive room. I'd like to know what presumably you continue to act as though you didn't know anything about this, Dr. Roy.
Yeah, I think during the recounting of the description of the drive room, I think Dr. Roy tries to impress an extra level of detail that the Colonel may have missed because, you know, only a military person, I'm a scientist. You know, mucus, blah, 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 occasionally.
Okay, so I think once Foster's finished her briefing, the Admiral will turn to you, Dr. Roy, and say, Dr. Roy, what is this? What do you think we should do?
That's a very good question. I mean, this dispute arose purely because I was looking to take some samples in order to continue the research, the valuable research that I have, in order to discover and eliminate the Korax. I don't want to stop the Colonel from burning the drive room, I think, is what you said.
All due respect, Dr. Roy, but isn't it your samples that got us into this in the first place? That's the Colonel.
I mean, yes, that's correct. And I have reviewed my security protocols in my lab and have definitely made sure this will never happen again. What do you want me to say? Somebody has stolen some samples. I hasten to point out that we have had significant breaches in the hull just from external threats. This is minor in comparison. I mean, we need to make progress.
I'd hardly call it minor, Doctor. We're talking about a enemy that has got on board our ship, that has grown something. And to my eye, it looks very clearly as though there was something inside cocoons. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not there anymore. This is an emergency situation. We should be treating it as such. What do you think, Commander? Foster turns to you, hoping to enlist an ally, no doubt.
Buckley will turn to look at the Admiral just to get visual permission to speak.
The Admiral looks a little put out by this commandeering of the conversation, but inclines her head at you.
Well, Colonel, I think you're right. I think we need to treat this as a serious situation. I mean, clearly, Korax on the loose on the Agamemnon is a real problem. I'm inclined to trust Dr. Roy when it comes to the security protocols around his labs, but if we can add a little reassurance to that, I can have our own Marine commander perform an inspection and perhaps assign a couple of Marines to keep an eye on that laboratory just to add that extra level of assurance. But I think in the first instance, maybe we need to curtail movement between the Agamemnon and the Hecate until we can reassure ourselves that the flagship is clear. With your permission, of course, sir, and I'll turn to the Admiral and say that.
What have you got in mind, Commander? This is not just any ship. This is the flagship, as you say. not being able to move people on and off it could be quite challenging.
Understood, sir. And I think that's why we need to move quickly. We can surely close down any unnecessary transport flights between the Agamemnon and the rest of the fleet long enough to ensure that we've purged whatever was in the drive and perhaps conduct another sweep. If it would help, I could bring our contingent of Marines over. We can stay on board until the situation's clear.
If there's a risk that we may have to quarantine Agamemnon, I wouldn't like to have all of your Marines stuck on here. You might need them.
It's good thinking, sir.
I would like it to make it very clear I am not trying to stop any investigation of any other further Korax leakage on the ship. I am merely asking to have access to the drive room in order to take samples to continue my research. I'm also happy to help with whatever is required to unearth the further potential leakage, he shrugs his shoulders dramatically, that may have occurred.
So, if I may?
Yes, please, Commander.
Dr. Roy's, he's the best hope we've got at understanding who and what these things are. If taking a sample is going to help in that effort.
At least let me examine the room.
I'm inclined to agree with Dr. Roy's advice, Colonel. I can't see how this can get any worse just by Dr. Roy taking some samples. And it has potential benefits for us. So, Dr. Roy, can you get these samples taken and then we will dispose of whatever material is in there as swiftly as we can, and I want you on site advising the best way to do that. The Colonel looks stony-faced, but doesn't say anything.
I say it would be my pleasure to take samples and help the Colonel in any way she requires. We are all in it together, after all. I look at the Colonel in the eyes. This.
She just nods stiffly at you.
I think Sam will stand up and say to the Admiral, with your permission, sir, I'll head straight back to the Hecti and get those heightened security protocols in place ahead of Dr. Roy bringing back whatever he brings back.
Yes, I agree. Commander, I think you better sweep your ship for any signs of more like this, don't you? We can't afford to let any more of this slip through the net.
Yeah, agreed, sir. We've already performed a sweep following the engagement with the Alexander, but this seems different, so I'll get that underway as soon as I'm back on board the Hecate.
Excellent.
And I think Sam will snap off a salute, and he'll give Dr. Roy a little nod on the way out. Our last exchange was tense.
Yeah, I think Roy recognizes that, and you can see his sort of mind whirring, and he smiles and nods back at you.
Okay.
No side conversation?
I don't think so just yet, although I definitely want to have a chat with Roy when he's back on the Hecate.
Yeah, now's not the time for either of us to do that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but there was definitely a sense, I think, from where Sam was sitting, that there was a little bit of an olive branch situation happening there.
Yeah.
Not a smug olive branch, although I'm sure there's an element of that in there.
No, so it's the fact that your mood has changed towards Dr. Roy. Dr. Roy's trying to work out what has happened in the interim.
Perfect, yep.
That may have made that change.
Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find more information about Last Fleet and the rest of our stuff in the show notes. And don't forget, we've got Lovecraft Desk 2nd Edition coming to crowdfunding on Backerkit very soon. And there's a link to sign up for notifications about that also in the show notes. See you next time. Should I do intros as well? I could do that. It would be lovely to have more content than I really needed, so that'd be good.
Have you got a backlog of intros? You've probably got thousands of intros just on the shelves. You just pull one off.
No, because I genuinely do tend to get two episodes per session. I have recently had one where I had to finesse it a bit to get the content to a sensible size that was actually an episode's worth. But usually...
Is there going to be just you doing voices in the middle of the...
Oh, yeah, that guy, I've got Dr. Roy.
Dr. Roy, I'm Sonia Vega, and I disagree with what you just said.
I mean, I know that you don't actually sound how you hear it in your own head, but that's
surprising,
really far
it?
From...
Surprising.
Yeah, it's surprising. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. How do you stand it?
I actually really like it, Sue. I don't... You know, don't worry about it. Quite endearing.
I think that's the sort of quality that we can expect from all TV shows now with the writer's strike on.
Finger puppet versions of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really want James. He's the king of character voices.
He is the king. We used to have James.
We did.
The one and only time I did that voice was the first time I ever played a game with Sue. So, false pretenses.
I remember, yeah, troll.
Yep.
You were a troll, yeah.
I was a troll, yep.
It's funny, I like doing character voices when I'm reading to my kids, but I don't do it for role-playing all that often.
I do it when I'm a GM. I do it when I'm a GM, because you only have to do it for a sort of bit. When you're a player, you have to sort of really do it all the time and have to commit to it, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I listen to a show where the GM occasionally will say, hang on a minute, let me find their voice, and it'll be a character they haven't voiced for 47 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, where is that stored?
I mean, I with children's books, sometimes that happens. You get a character and you're like, oh, last time they had... I sort of try and put them into a sort of category, but I do think, oh, I should probably record the voice so I can just listen to it to come back to it. But then I'm thinking, I'm taking this way too seriously.
I think the best thing to do would be to choose who's playing that character, because then you're going to be able to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 'cause in your head, you'll be visualizing that character
as... Like a memory palace.
Ian McKellen or whoever, but then I don't actually do that. So even though I think it's a very good idea, it's not what I do.
Mm.
I've just started listening to the audiobook of Gideon the Ninth because I've read the ebook and a physical book, and I feel like now it's time for me to complete the trifecta.
And then you'll be reading the comic and then...
Yeah.
Performative dance.
Mm.
Yeah.
100%. Interpretive dance.
Waiting for the TV show with bated breath. Hope that happens if you're listening, studio execs, after the writer's strike. But... The woman who does the audiobook for the Locked Tomb series is a woman called Moira Quirk, and honestly, she's out of this world. She's absolutely out of this world with her voice work. So if anybody's listening...
I'm glad you said that, because I was really worried about Gideon. I feel like you need quite a particular voice for that.
Hi, I'm Gideon!
She's chosen...
Hello, Gideon!
Is anybody familiar with a comedian I quite like called Susie Ruffalo?
Rings a bell.
Sounds like Susie Ruffalo. Susie Ruffalo's got like a kind of what I can only describe as a wide boy accent.
Nice.
And it's not quite that pronounced for Gideon, but it really works.
No relation to Mark Ruffalo.
No relation to Mark Ruffalo. Or maybe I'm wrong about that. Tell me if you're listening, Susie Ruffalo, big fan, by the way, let me know if you're related to Mark Ruffalo. Who
yeah,
also
let us know.
Quite a big fan
or Mark, if you're listening,
Mark.
Mark,
if you're listening.
You know, you could tell us. Either is fine.
Gonna have to excuse me for 1 minute. So don't say anything really cool.
Is this revenge for me doing it earlier?
Yeah, probably.
Right. I'll be Nick.
Yeah, do an Australian accent.
Oh,
be
my
fun.
God.
Oh, mate.
Probably as badly done as Brummie accents on the whole, I would say.
Come on.
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
You haven't heard either of them. I might have a really brilliant Brummie accent for all you know.
Okay.
I'm not going to show you now because you've upset me.